This episode is brought to you by Putter Cup. More than a training aid, it's a skill enhancer. Visit puttercupgolf.com and use the code GOLFSMARTER to get 20% off your order. Now, let me explain. We've discussed many training aids on this podcast, and frankly, there have been a lot that have crossed my desk that you never heard me talk about, either because I didn't get it or I thought it wasn't worth your time. But Putter Cup is different. After nearly 20 years in the market research industry, Matt Davis, a lifelong golf nut like all of us, had an idea on how he could help every golfer feel more calm and confident when they putt. This isn't a device to improve your mechanics or develop the perfect stroke. Putter Cup is designed to strengthen your focus and reduce distracting thoughts while you're putting. How? Putter cups are golf hole inserts that encourage golfers to focus on the putting essentials of speed and aim. They're lightweight and easily fit into your bag, so you can fine-tune your focus before every round and at every practice session. Putter cup gives you instant feedback, so it's easy to get dialed in quickly and feel confident as you head to the first tee. You've got to check it out for yourself. Go to puttercupgolf.com and use code GOLFSMARTER to get 20% off your order. And combined with the 15% discount you get with the pressure putt combo, you really save. And the pressure putt combo includes both the speed bump and the center cup, two very different but very valuable skill enhancers. That's puttercupgolf.com and get 20% off your next order with promo code GOLFSMARTER. This episode is brought to you by Modern Mammals, a company that creates new hair washing products for men. Visit modernmammals.com and use code GOLFSMARTER for 10% off. I'm a guy. I get it. Once you find a product you like, especially hair care products, you think, that's it. I'm not changing. Why would I? This works fine. Really? Fine? When is fine good enough in your life, your work, your game? Unlike the shampoo you've been using forever, Modern Mammals products don't have harsh detergents that suds up and dry out your head and hair. And unlike conditioners, they don't leave your hair limp and frizzy. Instead, they lightly clean your hair and scalp, cleansing your hair while protecting its strength and texture. But let's get back to you. Have you ever really cared about what you put in your hair? Probably not. But that's why you need to visit modernmammals.com and read the reviews that prove how well it works. And while you're there, use code GOLFSMARTER at checkout for 10% off. Again, that's modernmammals.com for 10% off with the promo code GOLFSMARTER. That way, they knew we sent you.
As we get older, we definitely need to spend a little time warming up. And when I say warming up, it's I like to say you warm up to hit balls, you don't hit balls to warm up. Because if you're out there and you're a little more advanced in age, which I definitely am, and a lot of your listeners probably are, you probably want to get your body ready to do something as explosive as hit golf balls.
Golf Smarter, number 729. Hey, this week on episode number 45 of Golf Smarter Mulligans, we get tips, drills, and insights from a certified Golf Zone instructor and tour coach, Bob Montello, on the impact better putting will have on your game and your scores. Golf Smarter Mulligans is brought to you by twoguyswithgolfballs.com, where you get premium used golf balls at a fraction of the cost of new balls, plus free shipping. Use Golf Smarter at checkout for 10% off every order every time, but that offer expires on April 1, 2020, so take advantage of it today at twoguyswithgolfballs.com. It's a myth. You won't leave your best shots on the range when you warm up. Featuring Josh Zander.
This is Golf Smarter. Sharing stories, tips, and insights from great golf minds to help you lower your score and raise your golf IQ. Here's your host, Fred Green.
Welcome back to the Golf Smarter Podcast, Josh.
Thanks, Fred. It's always great to be with you.
It is great to have you back on the show. You are a wealth of information I love to dig into. I was playing recently with a guy who shows up for the first tee without warming up. He's a kind of a new golfer.
He's still not sure how far he hits his clubs. And I'm like, why don't you warm up or do you practice? And he goes, nah, I don't want to leave it all on the range. You're laughing. What do I say to that?
I love that person who like doesn't want to waste the good shots on the range. Like,
exactly. I don't want to waste the good shots.
There's a limit to how many good shots he can hit.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What do I say to someone like that? How do I respond to that?
Everybody's out there for their own reason. Everybody knows their own bodies. I mean, if it was an older person, they're probably not making a smart decision. If it's a 10-year-old, like my son just turned, it's actually his birthday today.
I mean, oh, happy birthday.
He can get up there and just rip driver right out of bed. So I don't recommend that to him. But as we get older, we definitely need to spend a little time warming up. And when I say warming up, it's I like to say you warm up to hit balls. You don't hit balls to warm up. Because if you're out there and you're a little more advanced in age, which I definitely am, and a lot of your listeners probably are, you probably want to get your body ready to do something as explosive as hit golf balls. So, it doesn't really take that much, but get yourself where you can get a little light sweat going. Do some stretching. I recommend the stretching you do is dynamic, so you're not holding any stretches, you can do that afterwards. But there's so many great exercise people in the exercise business who love golf and have great exercise. I recommend just going online, and there's a plethora of information out there on that.
Yeah, YouTube can be a wealth of information. It can also be a disaster. It can also just make your mind explode.
Yes, it can.
Especially with golf instruction.
Yeah, we need to be able to sift through all that stuff and get the good stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's harder and harder to do these days. We don't even want to talk politics about that.
Everything podcast is great stuff. So you know you're getting good stuff when you come here.
Oh, thank you, Josh. Because I have guys like you on who can address it and discuss it.
Yeah.
Now, one of the things that I mentioned to him was, you know, what a lot of professionals do and a lot of low handicap golfers do is they go to the range after their round.
Yeah.
Why is that a good idea?
It's to work out what happened on the golf course. The golf course is not a great place to work on your swing. I highly recommend not doing that. Take some time afterwards if you have the energy to go sort things out in the range, start to understand that you can get more technical or mechanical on the range. That's not a great plane frame of mind to be in. But I was just at the AT&T a few weeks ago caddying for one of my students. And, you know, I'm such a golf fan. I just love watching all those guys practice. And it's really a full-time job for those guys. I mean, between the travel and the fitness and warming up before playing, and then afterwards they're on the range working with their coaches or working by themselves. I mean, I was there and I stayed till darkness. And who was the last person on the range? It was Jordan Spieth. No caddy, just his tour bag. He was balancing his camera on his tour bag, trying to get an angle to see his swing and you know, going back to the recording afterwards and seeing what he did and making an adjustment and trying again. And I kind of looked at him like he's just like the rest of us. He's just trying to get better. And, you know, afterwards is a great time to do that. And that's just part of getting better. It's part of the process. And I think it's quite an enjoyable part of the process is doing the work after.
When a guy like Jordan Spieth, who had some major impact on him when he first came in and then has been, I don't want to use the word struggling, but it's not been as easy for him to win as he thought it would be after his rookie season. What is he watching? Is he shooting video in slow motion? And what do you think he's looking for by just running his camera and letting it go?
Well, his camera was down the line, so I'm sure he was looking at his swing plane, maybe his posture at address, his posture through impact. I'm sure he's talking to Cameron, his coach, about what they're working on, and making sure he's just doing it and just trying to make the necessary adjustments so he can go out and play. I think this was after Friday. It was Friday night after the second round, and he was just trying to figure out something. Ended up having a pretty good weekend. I think he kind of backed into a top 10 that week, so that was actually a pretty good that grinding paid off for him that week.
Did you spend any time watching him while he was on the range then?
Yeah. And I watched him do his practice session. And as I did, just kind of walked up and down. I actually saw, maybe I shouldn't mention the name of the player, but the first player is a very powerful striker of the golf ball who has been number one in the world. And the first shot I saw him hit was a shank. So that should be something that...
Maybe he needs to shave his beard. Oh, I don't know. I'm just guessing.
I'm not sure who it was. But he was tall. He kind of bows his wrist at the top, and he shanked it. So, and I was just like, you know what? And then very next one was pure. And they just started ripping it. And so, hey, it happens to all of us. And
good to know.
Everybody hits bad shots. And, you know, part of being a great player is being emotionally resilient enough to bounce back and not let stuff like that bother you and then move on and hit a good one the next time.
So easy to say, just don't let that bother you.
Yeah.
But not so easy.
It's a skill. It's a skill. Like chipping is a skill. Like hitting a bunker shot's a skill.
Right.
It's a skill that a lot of people don't practice. Practice letting things go. Just literally get good at that. You'll have more fun on the golf course and you will perform better because you won't be in a bad state for your next shot.
I find it easy to let things go early in the round. But when I start seeing issues that I'm having early in the round continue through the round, I can sometimes get a little wacky.
Yeah.
And I try so hard to calm myself down, to breathe, to close my eyes, to get back past it going, just go to your swing. Don't worry about that. But boy, it definitely can affect your mood.
Yeah. And that's where the time in between shots is so important. The skill of what you do in between shots is key. So I got this from PN Lin from Vision 54, is I have my students have a little note card, just write down five things that make them happy. And that's what you think about between shots. And, you know, when I do, I especially do it with juniors. And, you know, everybody has ice cream on their list. So they think of their favorite flavor of ice cream after they hit a bad shot and life's not so bad.
Sorry, I'm lactose intolerant.
Maybe something different for you. Maybe a different
sorbet. Sorbet. I'll put it high on the list.
A different treat, but something that gets you in a good mood, because we play golf better when we're in good moods. That's just a human thing.
Wow. Had both Lynn and Pia on the show recently. They're remarkable.
They are.
They're great instructors.
They have done such a great job in taking the science and making it digestible for the everyday golfer and the touring pros that they work with. They've just done a really good job organizing the material, communicating it, and giving people tools and skills for how to practice those essential skills that they talked about, those human skills.
So I'm curious if while you were walking up and down the range down at Pebble and Jordan turned around and said, "Hey, buddy, come here. What are you seeing?" What would you tell him?
Well, I'd be
talking to me.
I'd be honest with him. You know, last year, Tony Romo and I spent a bunch of time together on the range, and he recognized me from an organization that we're both familiar with, the Jim Hardy organization, The Plain Truth. And he's like, "Hey, you want to take a look? I'm struggling." And we kind of speak the same language because we both are familiar with the terminology that Jim Hardy uses and what Tony's trying to do with his swing. So, I mean, the first thing I would do is ask Jordan, "What are you working on? What are you trying to do?" And then I just give him an honest assessment of what I see. I mean, the golf ball goes a certain direction because of certain things. It knows where the face is pointing. It knows how fast that club face is pointing. It knows where on the club face that ball was hit. And it knows the direction that club is being swung. So that doesn't matter if it's Josh Zander, Fred Green, Jordan Spieth, or Joe Blow on the range. That golf ball is an inanimate object, and it is going to react to what's happening between the face, the path, where on the club face you're hitting, and how fast it's going, and the loft. And there's a whole bunch of things. I mean, we could go down that road, but the bottom line is the ball is doing something because of what the club is doing, and what is the golfer doing to make the club do that? So that's the conversation I have with Jordan or whoever, or then my next lesson who comes to the range at Stanford to take a lesson from me. It's like, okay, the ball is doing this because of X, Y, or Z. And I like a good friend of mine, Jeff Ritter. I don't know if you had him on the podcast, but
15 Jeff, times,
15 times. So
at least I love Jeff.
When I first went to go work for Golf Digest, he was my first hire. He became like my right hand guy. This was back in the late 90s, and we're really good friends. And I love what he says. He looks at the student. He says, "You know, you're making a perfect swing for the ball flight you just hit. That's exactly perfect. Mm. Now, if you don't like the ball flight, we need to change something in the swing, right?" And it's as simple as that. And anything you do to that person, and I think we've talked about this on this podcast before, anything I tell somebody needs to relate to either a more solid contact, a better ball flight. And those are kind of the two things. And if it's not that, I'm not really going to go there because I'm not in there. It's not a beauty contest as far as who's got the prettiest golf swing, or Adam Scott would win every year and he'd be the number one player in the world. It's what's the ball doing? So, hey, Jordan, if your ball is fading, your ball is drawing, or it's going too low or too high, there's certain things. It's not rocket science. It's right there in front of you. And now how to communicate that adjustment to Jordan, that's the art of teaching. We've gotten to the point where the diagnosis, with all the tools we have and the knowledge we have now, if you're not diagnosing well, you probably shouldn't be in the business, because there's a lot of great teachers now with a lot of knowledge who can really diagnose well. And then what separates one teacher from another, or what makes one student click with one teacher over another, is really how they communicate. With somebody like a better player, like a Jordan Spieth, who's able to hit all the golf shots, a lot of times you can fix their swings by having them hit different shots. So let's say, for example, it doesn't have to be Jordan. Let's just say somebody's hitting, like somebody came in the other day and they were hitting pushes, hooks, and thin shots. Well, they could be calling me from Australia telling me they're hitting pushes, hooks, and thin shots, and I know that their swing's coming too much from the inside. It's bottoming it out early and catching the ball in the upswing. If the face is square to the path, it's going to be a push. If it's close to the path, it's going to be a hook. And if it's a more advanced player, I can say, hit a couple fades for me, and they might be fixed with that thought, because that's going to get them to swing a little more left through the golf ball and keep the club face a little quieter, not roll it over as much. It's also going to move the bottom of the swing arc more forward so they can start compressing the golf ball. Something as simple as that. You know, there's a mystery out there that the guys who teach tour players are amazing teachers because they're working with these great players, okay? I know these guys. I'm part of the top 100 golf instructors, and those guys are my peers. They're my friends, and they teach a lot of tour players. You know what? It's a lot easier to teach a tour player, because the minute you tell them what to do, they do it on the next swing. That's how good the athletes are. They're really, really good. So I'm not saying they're not great teachers. They are great teachers, which has gotten them to where they are. But I've taught some of those players. I've been around them, and it's like, you know what? It's easy. Because you tell them and it's done. And then the person who's not the good athlete, who doesn't have much hand-eye coordination, who doesn't have flexibility, doesn't have all that stuff, all that nice clay you want to have to mold as a teacher, that's the challenging student. That's what makes, and it's, you know what, it's equally or more gratifying to see somebody like that get the ball up in the air and somewhat straight than it is for a tour player to, you know, get rid of their hook and start hitting it straight again. Because that usually takes about 5 seconds.
Wow. Amazing. Hey, let's take a quick time out. Sure. You dropped a bomb a little bit earlier that we need to talk about, and we'll be right back.
Fluffy bread, fresh tortillas, classic burger buns, and so many carbs. Carb fear is real, but Hero Bread makes healthier versions of the carb-heavy favorites we love most. We're talking fewer calories, 0 to 2 grams net carbs, 0 grams of sugar, and seriously, great taste. Made from a new recipe using heart healthy olive oil and resistant wheat starch that acts as a prebiotic fiber to promote gut health, Hero Bread products have more of the dietary fiber and protein you want without the net carbs and sugar you don't. There's something for every craving. Sliced bread loaves, buns, and tortillas, plus monthly small batch drops of indulgent favorites with no compromise. Like the 2 gram net carb Hero croissant or the 1 gram net carb Hero cheddar biscuit. Don't skip out on your favorites. Just use Hero Bread. Get 10% off your order at hero.co with code HEROPOD at checkout. That's HEROPOD at HERO.co.
You caddied at the AT&T?
Yeah.
Yeah, you just kind of like, oh, by the way, you buried the lead. What was it? What's up with that? What happened?
Well, this is the second year I've done it. One of my students who plays as an amateur in the AT&T, he's like, well, this will be like a 3 or 4 day playing lesson. Let's go down there and hang out together and you can see me in action. And, you know, one of the challenges is, as a teacher is, you know, you work on the range, but you don't always get to see your players on the golf course, right? In the, in the setting. So I try to do as many playing lessons as possible, but it's challenging to get everybody to commit that much time. So here's a chance for my student and I to spend a lot of time together, for me to see him under the gun, and see him in different conditions. And, you know, for the amateurs out there, they're outside their comfort zone. They really are. I mean, they're trying to stay out of the pro's way. They don't want to, they don't want to hit a bad shot. They honestly, sometimes, you know, they don't want to hurt somebody in the gallery by hitting a bad shot, because there's a lot of people out there, right? So it's a stressful place, and seeing how people handle it. And then it really shows where the weaknesses are, which makes my job easier when it comes back to getting on a lesson team and saying, okay, here are the skills that you need to improve at. And we actually do an assessment afterwards. Last year, I did an assessment and I actually graded each part of his game. That was maybe a mistake to put a B minus or a B plus where he thought he might have done better. But so this year I just did the assessment. I left the grades off.
What, did it mess with his mind?
So the bottom line is, all I really need to communicate to him is like, okay, this part of your game needs work. This was a strength. This was a weakness. Here are certain situations that you could have done better. And so I just left the grades off. It's kind of like when you go to college and you can take a pass fail class instead of get a grade. There's less.
Speaking from someone who works at Stanford.
Yeah, exactly.
Awesome. So this is an amateur. You're not going to share this person's.
No, I don't think that's not necessary, but
it's not.
It's a highlight. It's one of the highlights of the year for me, because even though I'm not the player and I've been that player playing in those tournaments, but it's just really fun to be back in the arena. And it's fun to watch, you know, the best players on the planet hit the golf ball, because they're just so amazing. They work so hard, but they are so good. And it's just fun to see what the best players are doing, because they're always trying to get better. They're just like the rest of us. They just have a higher skill set, but they're just like the rest of us. They're all trying to get. It's like Tiger says, I'm just trying to get better today than I was yesterday, and just keep improving.
Right. Well, that's interesting, is that I opened the conversation with someone who doesn't warm up, doesn't practice, doesn't want to leave it on the range, and here you talk about the best players in the world saying they work so hard at it.
They do. The competition is so, so strong out there. And it's not like the PGA Tour is the only place you can make a living, you know, but it's a grind. It's a grind. And if you're not putting in the work, there's somebody equally as talented who will pass you. And you don't hear about a lot of those guys. You know, you don't.
Right.
It's when Tiger has a slump, everybody hears about it. When somebody else has a slump and all of a sudden you don't see their name, it's like,
what happened to that guy?
Yeah, well, what happened to that guy? And then all of a sudden he comes back and he does something. It's like, where's that guy been? You know, where's Nick Watney been for the last 4 years? Oh, he was injured. Oh, okay. He was like a top 5 or 6 player in the world at one point. You know, it's like these guys, it's tough. It's tough. So you got to, I mean, you probably have, I don't know, you have a bigger window than a lot of other professions. But still, there's everybody wants your job. It's tough to be one of those 125 that keeps their job on the PGA Tour.
Yeah. And what separates number one from number 10 to number 100 is infinitesimal, really.
Yeah.
I mean, because on any given day, number 100 is going to win. And that's part of what's so amazing about golf, is that the parity in golf is constant.
Yeah, there's good. There's access to good instruction everywhere. Golf is growing around the world. You know, Asia, huge boom of golf. You know, European players continue to Europe continues to put out great players. The United States has great college golf programs. I mean, the junior golf circuit is literally like a tour. You got these little touring pros. So it's a very, very small piece of the pie that gets to play at that high level. So
yeah,
they're holding on to those cards tight, because they know that there's somebody else who wants that card. That's absolutely for sure.
It's incredible. And to have somebody that can come along and be a once in a generation type player that can dominate the sport for more than one season is really a remarkable feat. I've had multiple teachers on the show who talked about playing professionally on one level of a tour or another and commented that they're not a grinder. That they don't like the grind and they don't feel like that they're competent in being a grinder. Yeah. How do you interpret that? I always find that fascinating. That like they're that good, but there's something that holds them back.
Yeah, I think there's enough. If you take like a pool of players that all have talent, and then you have like the Jerry Rice who has the talent, but he's also a really hard worker. Those are the guys who stick around, right? Mm-hmm. Cameron Champ was in our group for the 3 days. It was fun to watch him hit a golf ball. I mean, that guy's got more talent in his little finger. And then Greg Chalmers was the other pro in our group, and he's 46 years old. He's towards the tail end of his PGA Tour career. I'm sure he'll do well in the Champions Tour. But it was really interesting after about – talk about a grinder. He was working hard on every shot. And he's 50 yards behind Cameron on every drive. Now Cameron hits at 340, 350. So Greg is adequately out there about 295 to 305 every drive, splitting the fairways and just grinding on every shot. Very meticulous, very much of a professional. And by the way, a super person, a super nice guy. But that's the kind of player who can last out there. Obviously, he's now 46 and has had a long, playing career, not necessarily on the PGA Tour, but there's other places to play as well. But some people are just willing to put in the work, and there's very few who can just these days just survive on their talent alone. It's just there's too many good players out there now. The instruction's too good. The instruction's very good. The access to information's there. So it's not like, oh, you just happen to had a good coach. There's good coaches everywhere now. You don't know what a good swing is. Oh yeah, they can look at all you do is look on the internet. And you can start copying really good swings if you're a junior. So that there's a bigger pool out there. And so I think the ones who are the harder workers are going to be the ones who make it. Now, not everybody has that kind of, like you say, grinder mentality. You need to know when you're done too. As far as like not burning yourself out and having a balance to your life as well, because you can easily kind of overdo it and burn out. So that's all part of the maturity process. I'm kind of afraid of some of the young kids who are just going out and just playing so much golf and having like repetitive use injuries and things like that, and getting burnt out a little bit early. That's a concern. I talked to my parents of juniors that just to make sure they pace themselves, because what we're really trying to do, I like what the Titleist Performance Institute philosophy is, let's build a really good 18-year-old golfer. Let's not make it the best 12-year-old golfer. In other words, 12-year-olds are playing basketball and they're playing soccer and they're doing other things to develop their functional movement skills and not just doing all golf. And then once they get to be 14 or 15, they can specialize in golf or whatever other sport they decide to do at that point. But they'll have all the movement skills. And then you get to if I get a player like that, if I get a junior who's 15, who loves golf, plays basketball, plays soccer, football, whatever, now I've got an athlete and I can mold that athlete, that explosive athlete, to have a great swing. That's going to be the player who can really succeed. So I'm going off on a little tangent here, but that's kind of like the way.
Welcome to Golf Smarter.
Yeah.
It's very, very rarely a straight line, kind of like my golf game, but let's take another short time out. We'll be right back.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Access to information. You've mentioned it a couple times now. Access is one thing. Implementation's a whole different thing. You can learn from somebody. You can walk away with a great tip. But without a teacher, without somebody to look at you, not just watching your own video, you know, not yourself watching your video going, okay, I learned this on YouTube and now I've taken some video of myself. It's assessing it and correcting it.
Yeah.
That's not as easy as just watching stuff going, I learned this week.
Right, right. I mean, you definitely, there's the whole process of habituating a motor skill. That's a separate conversation of how you like actually integrate something. And hopefully you're integrating something that's relevant to what you need to do. But I see myself as somebody who can help a player sort through the massive amount of information out there and say, okay, this is what's applicable to you, right? Yeah, just because Rory's doing this, this does actually fit you. If you talk to teachers like Mike Adams out there who do the bioswing dynamics, EA Tischler's another one, who they measure your body to make sure what you're doing is actually appropriate biomechanically for what you can do. So what might be a correct grip for one person may not be a correct grip for somebody else. I like the grip, I like Jack Nicklaus. Yeah, but you know, Jack Nicklaus, his body's different than yours. And so the way he moves a club is different than yours. You're not going to have the flying right elbow. If you gave Jason Duffner Nicklaus's flying right elbow, Jason Duffner wouldn't be on the tour anymore because that's not how his body works, right? So you got to figure out, hey, what works for you? And there's so many ways to do it that there's no one way. There's your way. I like that old Arnold Palmer ad where he says, it's your swing. You know, it's my swing. It's your swing. I don't need to have Adam Scott's swing. I keep using Adam Scott because he's got this pretty swing and it fits him beautifully. But that's not necessarily the way, it's not the way Sergio hits. It's not the way Furyk hits. It's not the way Tiger hits it. And by the way, Adam learned by watching Tiger, but basically made it his own. So you've got to basically have some sort of sounding board coach type person who can help you navigate all that information. It's very rare the person these days who can just look at something, A, implement it and actually do what the teacher's asking them to do or what the information is asking for. That's another road we can go down. But you need to make sure that it's right for you. If not, you can spend a lot of time working on something that's just not going to help you. And boy, is that a bummer.
For the amateur player, do you think it's more advantageous to spend 60 or 90 minutes on the range with a teacher or a playing lesson?
With the goal.
Josh is still here, by the way. He's
And that's like when you, if you come and take a lesson from me, you might hear some silence as I'm just kind of noodling through the whole thing and trying to come out with the most simple answer. That's kind of how I work. I'm not a talk after every swing kind of a coach. I'll let you kind of do some stuff for a while I think about where we need to go next. So that's an interesting question, and I'm going to answer it with, again, I'll use Mike Adams again. He says the answer to every golf question is, it depends, right? It really depends on the student. What does that student need, right? So is that student losing a lot of shots because they're making poor decisions on the golf course? They're picking bad lines. They're being aggressive when they shouldn't be. They don't understand the percentages of how to play the game. They don't understand shot selection, then yeah, I can help the person a ton on the golf course. But if that person is really struggling just getting a consistent ball flight, we're probably wasting our time being out there on the golf course because they're just going to be hitting bad shot after bad shot, and they're going to ask me what they're doing with their swing. We might as well just go back to the range. So I'm just going with it depends.
It depends on the person, of course. And then just for practice purposes,
yeah,
pounding balls or going out and playing and not keeping score, because the scorecard can really mess with you.
Yeah. Well, I think I've talked to you about this on the podcast. If I could change amateur golf, not competitive amateur golf, but just weekend amateur fun golf, it would be if there's one thing that changes, there's no score. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like when you go over and play at Muirfield. If you ever get a chance to go play Muirfield over in Scotland, you get to play your ball in the morning and the afternoon, and then you go have lunch, put your coat and tie, and you go and have lunch in their nice clubhouse there. And then in the afternoon, you go play foursomes, so which is alternate shot. And it's great. You play I tee off and you hit the next one, we play it out, and you walk to the second tee off. I'm already walking to the middle of the fairway where I'm going to hit the next shot from, because I assume that's where you're going to hit the next shot. But that's where you're going to hit your drive, Fred. So, and we just go out and we play in about 2 hours and we have a great time and have a beer afterwards. And that is a great, fun day. And that's how a lot of golf is played over there. So literally people go out there with their friends and have a great time. And they get to whack a ball around every few minutes. And it's a really nice experience versus what golf has become for a lot of people, which is misery. They're out there worrying about their score. And, you know, you can talk to P and Lynn about this till you're blue in the face. If you go out there and you worry about, you have expectations or you're worrying about the results, you're not in the present. And if you're not in the present, you're not in a performance state. So be a kid out there, have fun with a shot in front of you, get creative, get weird, have fun, use your imagination, picture things, listen for things, feel things, and have a great time out there. And you'll stay in the present. You'll be a much better golfer for sure.
Oh, such fabulous advice. Thank you. I need to take a little left turn here just for the last question, because I'm fascinated your thoughts on the new rules for 2020.
I think a lot of people are still confused about them. I tell you what, if I could change one thing, it's how you drop the ball. It's the most awkward position to drop a ball from.
From your knees?
From your knee. Well, you know, knee height. So people like get in this awkward squat and try to drop the ball from their knee. I love the fact that you can now touch your line. You can pat down a spike mark. I never thought it was fair if there was a spike mark in your way that you have to putt over it.
Or a divot. Yeah.
And I don't think it's really slowing down the pace. But I don't think people are like taking 30 footers and tapping on every spike mark in the way. I haven't seen that, at least when I've played. Leaving the flag stick in helps the pace of play. So I think a lot of them are really good. And I think they can still evolve even further. Now, anything that's just to make the game more fun, easier, is a good thing.
You think making the game easier is a good thing for the game?
Yeah.
Because it seems like the USGA has always been kind of like, as I've said in the past, that they're an advocate for the golf course, not the golfer. Mm. And that they want it to be difficult and elite.
Yeah, I'm not so sure that's going to be where the future of the USGA goes. That may have been the past. I think USGA leadership will listen to the everyday golfer and realize if they want to keep growing the game, that making it harder and making the rules so, I don't know what the word for it is, but just difficult to understand and like people worried about whether they're doing the right things. I think if they want to keep growing the game, they'll look to make things easier, faster. I think that's where we have to go. I mean, we're definitely living in an age of people with very little patience, very little time. Attention spans are shorter. I may be a golf instructor, but playing golf is my hobby now. And I can't think of a better way to spend 4 or 5 hours than be out there with my friends on the golf course, whacking the ball around and just chatting about life or telling jokes. It's just a great time away from videos and phones and computers and all that. And you get very little of that these days. So I want that time to be super fun. And if they can make the rules just a little bit easier and the game a little faster, I think that's a good thing.
Someone recently was questioning my choice of hitting from the white tees. And I'm like, I still haven't shot par from the white tees. Why do I need to make it harder than it is?
I'll tell you what, I think it's fun to go play different tees because you kind of get to play a different golf course.
And exactly.
My coach in college, one of the things he made us do is he'd say, hey, we're going to play back then, I'm dating myself, back then they were called the ladies tees, but now they're called the forward tees. So let's go play the forward tees and see, get used to shooting something in the 60s. Because that's what I need you guys to shoot. I need you guys to shoot short scores in the 60s so we can start winning some college golf tournaments. So just getting into the framework of like, or the point of view that, hey, I can really score And yeah, so then I go 30 yards back, but I still have that feeling, yeah, I birdied the hole last time. It's just like that mentality of being able to really attack a golf course. And so I think people should change tees. I don't, you know, I hit the ball about 290 to 300 yards on a good one. I don't go back and play the tips everywhere I go. It's like, why do I want to hit 5 irons and 6 irons? I'd rather hit 8 irons and 9 irons and make some birdies and get two on par fives. It's more fun for me.
Yep.
And then, you know, so if a tour player hits it 30, 40, 50 yards by me, then let them go back there.
My favorite forward tees on the planet that I've ever seen are at Stanford University Golf Course because they're blue.
Yeah.
Right? And that's just a slap at Cal.
Well, that was just,
the rivalry.
That was
right?
This thing that I remember that when I was a freshman at Stanford and I get to the first hole for our first qualifier, I'm like, why are the back tees the ladies' tees? That's so bizarre.
Why are they red?
This was nice. It was red. Hey, red is ladies' tees. It's everywhere I played growing up, red were ladies, and they were forward. It's like, oh, it's the Stanford Cardinal. Yeah, now I get
it. Absolutely. All right. So your URL, your website is xandergolf.com.
Golf.com. That's where you can book lessons and stay tuned for later on this summer, the Xander Golf app.
Ooh, we'll get you back on when that launches so we can promote it for you.
Yeah, we can do online lessons. There'll be videos, instructional videos. There'll be a place for people to chat with each other, give me some ideas on what future things people want to hear about. So that is coming. I'm very excited about it.
Very exciting news. The Xander Golf app, huh? Perfect. I'm going to make a note on that so we can bring you back when it releases.
Perfect.
Hey, bud, it's great to talk to you again. Thank you for always having a wealth of information and an opinion.
Well, I've been teaching now for 25 years and playing for 43, so hopefully there's a lot in there. I'm happy to share more whenever you want to talk to me.
So as we head into the official start of the golf season, for a lot of places in the United States, you know, out here in California, the southern parts, playing 12 months a year, but it sure seems by the audience participation and downloads that we get on this show that golf really goes from March, April, you know, from the Masters on through end of October. But as we get started in the official golf season, and we're always here to try to help you become better, I want to let you know that our next 4 episodes, all in March, will be dedicated to our late friend Tony Manzoni. Tony made a dozen appearances on Golf Smarter between October 2013 and December 2017 before he lost his battle to cancer at the age of 82. If you're not familiar with Tony, I highly advise that you don't miss the opportunity to hear from one of golf's all-time great unsung heroes of golf instruction. Little background, Tony was a tenured teacher at College of the Desert in Coachella Valley, where Palm Springs is located. He founded the school's golf management program in 1986. And more significantly, Tony was such a great teacher that he led the College of the Desert men's golf team to 5 state community college championships and 28 conference titles in 29 years. No question that Tony generated more emails of support, questions about his methods, and requests for his book and video than any other teacher that's been featured on the 15 years of this podcast. More details next week, but I just wanted to urge you not to miss these shows and to tell your golf buddies about these incredible free lessons that could make you a much better golfer. Please follow at Golf Smarter on Instagram, Twitter, or Facebook. Read about our weekly content on LinkedIn, or if you have any questions, comments, or suggestions for me, just click on the Hey Fred button at golfsmarter.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.